Thank God for a nation that has a national day of prayer. And that's what we're here to do tonight, is just pray. Call upon the Lord and to honor God. And how many are grateful that God hears and answers our prayers. I have a thing in me that I think when I get to heaven and look back, I'm going to wonder why I didn't pray more. When we understand the power of our prayers and the way that moved God, I don't know that we fully understand that now. So we want to pray tonight that God increases our faith and helps our unbelief, and we're going to lift him up. Tonight the order is going to be that we're going to open with a couple of praise and worship songs, and then Pastor Johan Kanis is going to come. He's with Community Church of the Rockies. He's going to lead us in prayer. Each pastor is going to share a little bit about the area they'll be praying for, and then they're going to lead us in prayer. And then we're going to take just a time when you can pray silently, or however you want to pray, in groups or personally, about things that are on your heart to pray. And then the next pastor will come up. Pat Lockhart will be up with Granby Baptist, Dustin Wagley with Fraser Valley Baptist, these pastors, Mark Kellerman, Father Michael Freehofer with the Catholic Church, and Samuel Reese with the Hispanic Church. And so each one is going to come up and lead us in prayer tonight. So what a great night it's going to be.
Good evening. Beautiful worship songs, beautiful singing. Thank you for being here tonight. I'm Pastor Johan from Community Church of Rockies in Grand Lake at the end of the road. My topic tonight is praise and thanksgiving. Two huge topics. If you want to read something interesting, get ready to write some things down here, all right? Look up 2 Chronicles 20. Just look that up sometime on your own. What a fantastic story. King Jehoshaphat is faced with three enemy kings. It's a huge multitude. It's overwhelming. They all go to prayer. And they send out the worship team before the military. Who's ever heard of such a thing? When you pray, something happens in the heavenlies, everybody. We don't know what. You're doing it here tonight. God begins to move. He routed the enemy. They all turned on each other. They all wiped each other out. God's people never lifted a hand. It took them 3 days to gather the bounty. 2 Chronicles 20. Incredible story. So something began to happen in the heavenly when we praise God. It's a beautiful thing. We don't understand it all. But for lack of time tonight, I can't really talk about both things. So I don't want to talk about Thanksgiving, because to me, being thankful is the most important quality in the Christian life. I've learned this over many, many years. It's kept me through many trials. It's kept me through many hard times. And it's just, Ephesians 5:20 says, always give thanks for all things. That's all things, not just all the pleasant things, but all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, always given thanks for all things. Always, that means that's not just once in a while or when you feel like it. Always given thanks for all things. For this is God's will, it says. People say, what's God's will? Always giving thanks. It'll change your life. So my challenge for you tonight, not just for this night, but for the rest of your life. You ready for a challenge? Okay, write this down. Not just for me, but this will change your life. Starting tomorrow, you're going to thank God for 5 to 10 things every day. Four, the rest of your life. You ready for that challenge? It will change everything. What do you start with? Well, start with the obvious, you know. Roof over your head. Heat in the house. Running water. Do you know how many millions of people don't have running water? Food on your table. How many have gone hungry tonight? Food on the shelves in the stores. People come to America and they're just in awe of all the stuff we have on our stores. And the variety of stuff. They're just totally amazed. God has blessed us so much. So start with the obvious stuff, then move to the spiritual. Thank him for forgiveness. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you can be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you're made brand new. You're a new creature in Christ. Thank you that you can walk with the Heavenly Father. Thank you that you have not only eternal life, but abundant life right now. Thank you that every day is new and it's filled with purpose. You got peace, you got love, you got joy. You can just go on and on. Start with the obvious, go to the spiritual. Let me ask you, does anybody here really deserve God's blessings? Let me see, anybody here think we deserve it? Isn't God just so good to you? It's mind-boggling. He's so good to us. We don't deserve it. And then as a nation, hasn't God blessed this nation? I mean, he has just poured out his abundance and his blessings. Everybody in the world wants to live in America. It's such an incredible place. We don't deserve that. I was talking to my brother in Malta just today. He's an evangelist over there. And I said, you know, this nation desperately needs prayer. We're so divided, so much anger and hatefulness. He says, I know. They even know it overseas. But God's been so good to us. Thankfulness changes everything. You know those long winter dreary days? Anybody remember those? We're supposed to be known for all these blue sky days, right? You know how many dreary days we had when it's all subdued and the light is down and you feel like a hibernated bear that wants to just crawl back into your bin, right? In your den, right? Boy, when you're thankful, changes everything. Changes everything. Let me close with a story here. A fellow named Orville, it shows you how everything can change when you're thankful. He went to the doctor. He was told he had terminal cancer. No hope. Him and his wife went home to cry and basically to die. So they were praying. How do we tell our friends and our relatives about this? God says, don't pray about it. Play about it. That's P-L-A-Y. So they had this wonderful idea. They're going to throw a party. They invited all the friends and relatives. Big crowd came. Orville stood up in the midst of them. He says, I want to make an announcement. You probably wonder why I've all asked you to come here tonight to this party. This is a cancer party. I have terminal cancer. There's no hope. But rather than sit around just waiting to die, we decided to do something different. We started an MTC club, Make Today Count. And you're all charter members. It was such a hit, the club got off the ground and other clubs started around the country. And, you know, Orville was too busy thinking about dying. He was too busy talking about the joy of the Lord and the joy that the world cannot give and the joy that the world cannot take away. You see how attitude and thanksgiving changes everything? From sitting around thinking about dying, you're going to rejoice and live every day fully. It changes everything. You remember the challenge I gave you? Tomorrow, every day, for the rest of your life. 5 to 10 things. You start thanking him, your whole attitude, everything begins to change. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, you are so good to us. We don't deserve your goodness. You pour out your blessings in abundance upon us as people, individually, as families, as a community. I mean, people just love being here. We're surrounded by beauty as a county, as a nation. Lord, have mercy upon us. We're a nation badly in need of prayer. I've never seen so much hatred, so much anger, so much division. So we come to you tonight for healing. We just want to thank you and praise you. Lord, do a mighty work in our midst here tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, spend a few minutes and let's thank him and praise him in the time we got left.
Good evening. I'm Pastor Pat from Granby Baptist Church, and I've been asked to speak, share my heart about repentance and confession of sin. Well, we're all here tonight because we're praying for our nation. And I don't think I need to tell you that our nation is facing some very serious moral, ethical, and spiritual issues. Right now, our nation is under the judgment of God. A lot of things that are going on out there are an abomination. So in order to change our country, what's it going to take? Well, the answer is found in Scripture. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Joel, the Old Testament prophet. Chapter 1, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses quickly. It's chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Put on sackcloth and lament, O priests, wail. O ministers of the altar, go in, pass the night in sackcloth. O ministers of my God. Because grain offering and drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. In the context, Joel is writing about the nation of Judah. And it is a call for the nation of Judah to repent of her sin. But I want you to notice where the call to repent begins. It begins with God's people. And it begins in the house of the Lord. The priests, those were the guys that ministered in the temple. They're the ones that offered the offerings. And they are to wail and to wear sackcloth. Why? Why were their offerings being rejected? Because of unrepentant sin in the house of the Lord. The priests were to prepare a fast. They were to call a solemn assembly, literally a day of restraint, and to gather the people, beginning with the elders. And I'm not talking about older people. I'm talking about the men who were in positions of leadership and authority. And they were to gather all the people, God's people. And the call for the solemn assembly, the fast, was a call to repentance. You know, God's never left America. He's just sort of stepped aside and let us go our own way. God's a perfect gentleman. So how do we get God back in America again? It's not going to begin with laws that are passed. It's not going to begin with elected officials. It's not going to begin in our educational system. It's not going to begin with science, philosophy, psychology, or anything else. If we want to get God back in America again, if we want to get God and if we want to get America back on the right track, it has to begin in the house of the Lord. It has to begin with God's people repenting of their sin. Repentance, folks. So let me tell you what repentance is not. It's not a mere recognition of sin. It's not simply confessing our sin. There are four men in the Bible that I recall that all admitted that they sinned. Pharaoh, Achan in the book of Joshua, King Saul, and Judas Iscariot. They all admitted, I've sinned. I've betrayed innocent blood. I've done things wrong. I've taken things that didn't belong to me. That's not repentance, folks. Confession moved their lips, but it did not move their heart. Repentance is a godly sorrow that leads to salvation. 2 Corinthians 7:10. I'll tell you a man that understood this very well. King David. He committed some great sins. And it wasn't a stone that fell him. It was a word from the prophet Nathan that brought him to his knees. And let me tell you what repentance looks like. In the 51st Psalm, David penned these words. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, and you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. That's repentance. Because it brought him to his knees. It brought him to the only place that he could turn to for forgiveness. And that is to fall upon the mercy and the grace of Lord God Almighty. We need repentance in our land. We need repentance in our churches. We need repentance in the people of God. Because without it, we're done. Herbert Lockyer said this, we live in a superficial age, and nowhere is superficiality more evident than in the religious realm.
For the most part, people do not want their consciences disturbed, so the message of repentance is seldom ever preached. I challenge you pastors to preach the doctrine of repentance. Yes, Jesus loves us. He died on the cross for us. He shed His precious blood. He rose from the grave. He saves us by His grace. But repentance is what leads us to that by faith. You know, one of the first sermons that Jesus ever preached in the Gospel of Mark is this. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we come humbly before you. I pray that our hearts are broken. I pray you bring us to our knees. God, we need you, but we must turn back to you. Bring us under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, as only you can do. We are helpless. We are weak. We are frail creatures of dust. And we don't deserve your grace, but have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, Lord. Help us to examine ourselves and to search our hearts and to be humble and reverent and in fear of you. Because you are God, you are almighty, you are just, you are powerful, you are perfect, you are holy, you are pure. God, forgive us. Forgive us for treating you in apathy, in indifference. And God, we want you back in America again. We want you back in our church again. We want you back in our heart again. But Lord, humble us. Bring us to our knees. We confess our sin to you. Our transgressions, our iniquities are always before us. They are always against you. And we cry out for your divine mercy and forgiveness. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Scripture says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of unrighteousness. And I feel like just even the last few moments, just a lot of richness going on there as we confess and repent. Thanks for those words, guys. The pastors here get together once a month, and this last meeting they got together and they chose the topics, and I wasn't at the meeting, so I got to choose the one that nobody else chose. Not that they didn't want it, that's just the only one on the list. So I chose prayer for people in authority, and as started to kind of think through that, and I think in that, the Lord's sense of humor, that's the last one I would have chosen of the whole list. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, you must be trying to tell me something here. And so as I processed, just even initially thinking through prayer for those in authority, the things that came to my mind were, okay, Lord, well, I can pray for wisdom for people in authority. I can pray for discernment for people in authority. I could pray for truth for people in authority. All those kind of cliche kind of things that you start to think of. And as I started thinking through that, the Lord brought a little more clarity to that, especially as I revisited 1 Timothy chapter 2. You can turn there if you want. You don't have to. It's just a few short verses. But as I read through this, it felt like the Lord gave me some insight. So really, I'm just sharing with you things He's taught me through this, and maybe through that He may speak with you as well around this idea of praying for those in authority. So 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. And we hear that, we're like, I could get on board with that, right? I can get on board with that. And then it goes on, a little more clarity comes. Verse 2, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And so there's kind of a little bit of evidence that we should pray for those in authority, in places of high leadership or in places of influence. And that second part I think we really like, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And I think that kind of gets to us of who wants peace and quiet. Me, yeah, I think. And so we pray to that end, almost in the selfish way of, well, if I want peace and quiet, I better pray for our leaders. And we stop right there at verse 2, and we don't continue on many times when we read this passage. And so as I continued on, this is where the Lord, I think, shined a lot of light, gave a lot of insight here as to how we should pray. Because up to this point, we don't really know how we're supposed to pray for those that are in these positions. It says pray, offer prayer and pray for them. And then we kind of leave that off. But here's some specific stuff of how we should pray for those that are in these high positions, those that are in authority. Verse 3. This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all. And when we think about praying for those in authority tonight, and not that it's bad to pray for wisdom or discernment or truth, but if they don't know Jesus, they don't know the very source of wisdom, the very wisdom personified, right? Truth personified. And so when we pray for those in authority here for the next few minutes, maybe we pray in line with what we just read, not necessarily for wisdom, for discernment, but that they would know Jesus Christ, who paid the debt of their sin, that they may know him as Savior. And so that's really where my heart has been today, as the Lord's kind of directed me back and said, hey, when's the last time you prayed for those in authority, those in leadership, at the county level, at the city level, at the state level, at the national level? And I think pray wherever the Lord leads you as far as different levels of leadership or governance. And he may speak to you specifically about some people you know in leadership locally here or on the national level. But pray that they might know Jesus. Let's spend some time praying. Lord, we thank you for the great wisdom and insight your word gives us. Lord, we come to you and we ask you that what we just read in your scripture would be true, that we may pray these things for those that are in authority over us at the county level, the national level, whatever it is. Lord, not just that they would make decisions that we would agree with, not just that they make decisions that I would like. Lord, much bigger picture than that, we pray that they would know you, Jesus. We pray that we know you have put people in their lives already that are believers. Lord, I pray that their ears would be turned toward those voices, those harvesters that you've already put in place around them. Lord, that they might know you. Lord, like Pat talked about, not just that they would confess what they've done wrong, but you would bring them to a point of repentance before you. Let's take a few moments and continue in that attitude of prayer.
Well, my name is Mark Kellerman, and I'm the pastor of the Hot Sulphur Springs Community Church. And so good to be here with you guys tonight. Glad you could all come out. You know, I also missed the pastor's meeting, Dustin, and I just picked my own. So I came up with my own topic. I said, we'll let Dustin take that one. No, you did a great job. And actually, our minds are kind of running down the same track here, and that's a bit of what I want to share this morning. I clearly talk in the morning, so. My topic is missions and the spread of the gospel. And if you're wondering why that's a topic on a National Day of Prayer, hopefully you'll see in a moment. What I want to read first is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, verses 6 through 8. And you can follow along if you like, or just listen. So, what's going on is the Lord Jesus Christ has just died and risen again from the dead. And he's spending time with his disciples just before he ascends back up into glory. And it says here, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? This is kind of like the hot topic end times question that was all on their mind. It was relevant at the time. They want to know, when are you going to restore the kingdom of David in Israel? And he said to them, frankly, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But that's not for you to know, but this certainly is. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So, what the Lord says to them is what you need to know is that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you will be my witnesses throughout the whole world, beginning at home. Right? It says here, you will be my witnesses first in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. It's pretty much all of Israel. And then from there on to the ends of the earth. So to talk about the idea of missions and the spread of the gospel, more times than not, what comes to mind is international missions. We think about the gospel going to the ends of the earth, and that's not to neglect that idea by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, what I'm suggesting today is that when we talk about this at home, it affects the spread of the gospel around the world. And if we want to see the nations reached for the glory of Christ, we will begin here on our way out of town. But I'm thinking right now and tonight primarily about our nation as a mission field. You know, sociologists and missiologists agree that America, I think it's clear to pretty much any of us that have our eyes open, that America is rapidly becoming a very secular culture. And there's a term for that, which is called a post-Christian culture or a nation. And what that means, sometimes we throw around words like that. So let me give you a definition so you know exactly what I'm saying. What is a post-Christian culture? Here's a good definition. It is a culture that is historically influenced and widely shaped by the Christian worldview, but it is no longer being influenced and shaped by that Christian worldview. In fact, in our culture, just like in Europe, that's quite a ways ahead of us, is to one degree of speed or the other, we are rapidly moving away from a Christian worldview shaping our culture. And one of the problems that comes with that is the idea that Christianity becomes, at best, it's viewed as irrelevant to the problems and the values of the culture. And at worst, it's viewed as hostile to the culture. And that's an example of what it's like to be a post-Christian culture. It takes, but here's the difference, is it takes values and it has longings that would not be there if Christianity had not been in its past. And so we very much are a Christian post-culture. Let me just give you this quickly. An example would be, we believe in a unique way in the West that there ought to be real meaning in life. Right? Now, everybody, all people made in the image of God, feel that to a degree. But in a unique way, we think life ought to be really meaningful. We also think that we ought to have a just society. We think there ought to be diversity and unity and freedom and all of these things. And yet, we're so anxious and insecure about all of those things because we are fleeing the source of all of them. We're ignoring God, ignoring the gospel, which is actually the source for our thirsty souls. So for us, as God's people, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have, there's two main banners that wave over the church. And that's what we call the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And if you're not familiar with those terms, I encourage you to become familiar with them. The Great Commandment, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, the Great Commandment is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, you didn't ask, but here's the second. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, as God's people, in any nation, but in particular here at home, in the United States of America, first and foremost, we love Jesus Christ and we want to see Him honored and glorified. Amen? Amen? And then secondly, as God's people, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we love people. Amen? We love people and want to see them experience the joy of knowing Jesus Christ and of having their sins washed clean, their lives changed, and everything that we find to be true of God in the gospel. All the meaning, all the justice, all the freedom and unity and diversity that our culture longs for, they can actually find in Christ. And yet, we're ignoring it. So what we want our nation to do, and then ultimately all the nations of the world, is to stop ignoring God and start adoring Him. You know, in Colorado, I dare say many of you have moved here because of the natural beauty. Anybody here? So I moved from Texas, and I like to say God called me here, but I like the mountains, okay? And so the reality is, it's inescapable. You can't ignore the natural beauty here. Also, being a Texan, you can't ignore all the Broncos fans. You know, like whether you like it or not, okay? I mean, it's kind of like the mountains. It's everywhere. You can't ignore it. So here's the question. What if it was impossible in our nation for Jesus to be ignored? What if it was just this buzz about Christ and about what He's doing in people's lives? They couldn't escape it. You know, Paul, it has been referred to that Paul's ministry was one of riot evangelism. Everywhere he went, he started a riot or a revival, right? And it's just because there was always commotion. And so people, whether they embraced Paul or whether they assaulted him, there was no two ways about it, right? There was a response to the gospel. And I think we shy away from that. There are times we don't want a commotion. And frankly, sometimes maybe, you know, when there's a fire, there's smoke. And maybe that's a cost we need to ask God for. Hey, let's have some more commotion. I don't want to get stoned, you know, but Paul reached a lot more people than I do. So in the United States of America, here in Colorado, where you live, work, and play, there are people who desperately need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We like to refer to these things as revivals. You know, they've happened around the world. They happen in the book of Acts. It happened in America. We have two we refer to as the Great Awakenings, as well as others, the Jesus Movement and so on. So it can happen, it has happened, and I believe by God's grace, it will happen as we press in, as we walk with Him, and as we make Jesus Christ non-ignorable in our world and the people around us. So would you bow your heads with me and pray? Almighty God, we acknowledge to You that we don't see the fruit that we would like to see. We acknowledge to You that what we see in our world, and in particular tonight as we talk about our own nation and our country, what we see is the abandonment of the gospel and a running away from. And while there's certainly still many of Your people here in this country, as a culture, we are running away. And so, Lord God, I pray tonight, Lord, we ask, even as people around this country, and indeed, as Johann told us, even his brother on the other side of the world, aware of these things, there are people around the world praying for you to move again in our nation. And so, Lord, where our culture wants to say you are a kind of a non-factor, or where our culture is hostile to you, Lord, I pray that once again the name of Jesus would be highly exalted. We pray, Lord, that once again, first through your people and then just spilling out everywhere, that Jesus would be non-ignorable here. First in our lives, in our churches, in our communities. Lord, we ask you, invite you. If that means we've got to be a part of some commotion, we don't ask for it. We're not looking for that, but we want to see people's lives changed. And we know the direction of our nation will only be turned around as hearts are changed. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you. Pray that it's not just here. It's not just about our nation. It's about the nations of the earth. It's about your fame and your glory over all that you have made. And so, Lord, tonight, hear our prayers, we pray, in Christ's name. Please take the next few moments and pray in this regard.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Father Michael. I think you know I have 5 churches, 4 in Grand County and 1 in Jackson. Tonight, we have worship every day, and we pray for every single person in Grand and Jackson counties. We love everybody, and we just pray for an outpouring of the Spirit on everybody every day. They'll take one step closer to Christ. I have a heavy topic, spiritual warfare. And this congregation is well-versed in the Bible, but you know this, Ephesians 6, 10 to 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. God is good. We pray with a lot of people. We've seen people get healed of addictions. We've seen people come off of their drugs. We have a prayer ministry team up here. We try to pray with God to discern and discover what are the toeholds, the footholds, and the strongholds that Satan has on certain people. People complete an intake form, and they list out who they need to forgive. And we all know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So you have to put who they need to forgive. They have to list the false judgments against them, like, you're never going to amount to anything. They heard it from their father or somebody in authority. They have to list all their stinking thinking patterns, like, no one's going to tell me what to do. Not Pastor Doug. He's not going to tell me to go to church. I'm not going to listen to anybody. We try to get all those things. I see some young people here tonight, so I'll try to change some of this language. Partners outside of marriage and unhealthy soul ties. Breaking the commandments of God. Music, video games, movies, cursed items in the home. Holding on to negative emotions like bitterness and resentment and anger and unforgiveness. And just wishing someone to die, or worry, doubt, control, rejection, fear of rejection. We try to find all those emotions and those hardened dispositions in people's hearts. The occult involvement, like the Ouija board and the psychic hotline and the crystals and stuff. Anything that anybody's had in their life. And we ask them, have you ever confessed this? Have you ever confessed these sins? Have you ever repented of these things? So tonight I would like to focus just a really simple message on preventative measures. Preventative measures, because if we can stop the bleeding early, we won't have to have in the hospital action so long. So in the Bible, as you know, it says, the goal is to research all things in advance and not to put poison into the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. So, the quick story. About two years ago, a 17-year-old girl came to me. She had just graduated from high school. She was not from here. Every time I speak, everybody's like, is he talking about my daughter? No. She's not from this county. Okay. She's from Jackson. No, you'll find out why she didn't come from Jackson. She went to a Christian school, high school, all 4 years. I think she went to a Christian grade school. And she went to church every Sunday. But at 17, she had already had 4 partners. She's already suffering from depression and physical maladies. Okay. And when I do marriages, usually they have 4 to 8 partners before they even come in for marriage. And we're like, I'm not doing your marriage until you pray with me for 2 hours. Okay. Anyway, obviously she hadn't given her life to Christ, right? She's doing all the stuff, you know, going to church, going to the Christian school and all this, but she hadn't done it. So I'm going to focus on 3 quick areas. So, music. All right, what do all 5 of these have in common? Nicki Minaj, Florence and the Machine, Kanye West, Katy Perry, and Maroon 5. I didn't know who Nicki Minaj was. I'm 54 years old. Who's Nicki Minaj? Who's Katy Perry? Who's Maroon 5? Who's Florence and the Machine? If you do a Google search and you put Katy Perry and you put occult, you're just going to get hit after hit. Kanye West carries around the Eye of Horus, which is an Egyptian demon. Okay, even though he's getting the headlines today, his music is not blessed. Okay, and they get these Satanists to come in and they put a curse on their original recordings, and then the music goes into our homes if we let it. Okay, so music. Video games. I can't remember the video games that she listed, but here's some of them. Diablo, World of Warcraft, Oblivion, StarCraft, Entemco's Deception, Invitation to Darkness, Nocturne, Devil Summoner, etc. What are our kids doing up here? What are they playing video games? Why? I'm glad we only had Pac-Man when we were kids. Okay. All right, so she listed movies. One of her movies she listed was 50 Shades of Grey. What is anybody watching a movie like that for? Wow, that's just all against God's plan. Okay, so you see how the devil gets the toehold, the foothold, and the stronghold, and how he gains more and more territory in the soul. So preventive maintenance, be sober, be watchful. Google search these things. Now I'm going to challenge everybody. Google search Harry Potter. Google search it. Put Harry Potter occult. All right, now this is where people start throwing tomatoes. Google search yoga. Google search yoga. Find out what you get. Google search yoga occult. Google search Freemasonry. There might be a Freemason in this room. Google search it. Okay? We will know them by their fruits. Will you search in advance and keep the devil out? Or there's the attitude, no one's going to tell me what to do. I'm a Freemason, Father. Don't tell me to leave the Freemasons. Yes, there's anger there. That's not good fruit. Peace is if you're secure, you're like, okay, I'll peacefully go check this out. I had these 4 college girls come and they were practicing yoga. And I said, did you know that's Hinduism? You know that breaks the first commandment? Like, oh, we never knew that, Father. Well, we have to stop. I mean, it was that gentle, that peaceful. No fighting. It's nice when there's no fight, isn't it? If we discover something's poisonous, will we renounce it in the name of Jesus Christ? Will we repent? Will we turn back and say, God, I never knew this. I'm so sorry I wasted your time on this. We're in a spiritual war. We need strong soldiers. We need to fortify the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't let the devil in. It takes discipline to be a disciple. Here's a trick question for you. Why do I wear black? Huh? You know why? Because I'm a slow learner. People wear black to funerals. I wear black to remind myself every day that someone died for me. That's why I wear black. Did you know that? I also wear black to remind myself that I'm dead to the world. I don't want video games. I don't want those stupid movies. I don't want secular music in general, you know. Sometimes I listen to a little Frank Sinatra. But I got to be dead to the world. So, 3 words, okay? This attitude to follow Jesus and push Satan away. Desire union and surrender. Do we desire what Jesus desires? And what did he say? What does he desire? Okay. He wants all people to be saved. He has that strong desire, and that's why we're here tonight to pray. He desires to praise the Father, right? He desires to praise the Father and to pass on that Holy Spirit zeal. Union. Jesus' heart was a burning furnace. And man, when that blood and water flowed, it just powered up the grace in the world. And we want to unite our hearts to Jesus' heart. Imagine if our heart is next to Jesus' heart and all the, here's the seven capital sins, P-A-L-E-G-A-S, pale guess. Pride, anger, lust, envy, gluttony, avarice, sloth. Do you imagine if his heart touched your heart and my heart and it just sucked that poison out, that rattlesnake poison, brought it to the surface and got it out and we got healed? So desire what Jesus desires. Unite your heart to Jesus so that he can suck the poison out. And in your heart and my heart and his heart can beat with his rhythm and feel what he feels. Like John the evangelist put his heart on Jesus's, or his head on Jesus' heart at the Last Supper. And then the surrender, the abandonment. Whatever happens to us, good, bad, or ugly, Jesus, what are you trying to teach me? Jesus, how can I offer this up to you? This pain hurts. How can I unite it to your suffering instead of taking revenge on people or overreacting? So, desire, union, and surrender. It's all about spiritual warfare, and it's about being delivered from the devil. Psalm 91:14. Because he clings to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. I invite you to repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, without you, I can do nothing. With you, all things are possible. Help me to desire what you desire, to unite my heart to your heart, and to surrender myself completely to you. Then when my heart beats with yours and desires what you desire, we will bear much fruit and glorify our Heavenly Father. Amen. So I invite you to pray against the strongholds the devil has in Grand and Jackson counties. Quick story. I was sick with the flu and pneumonia in January. Ended up 24 hours in the little Granby hospital, right? And I was in the bed of somebody tried to commit suicide on my front door, at my front door of my church in Granby. And when I got really sick, you know, months, like 6 months later, they put me in the same room that I went to go minister to that same woman. When I was in the hospital, they told me, Father, we get 4 people a week that have attempted their lives come to our hospital. I said, that's impossible. That would be almost 200 people a year, and there's only 14,000 people approximately that live in the county. So I think there's a spirit of suicide in the county running around everybody. A spirit of marijuana, okay, a spirit of contention and disunity. Think about what you're seeing. Pray in the name of Jesus against it.
Good evening. I was given the opportunity to pray for the Hispanic ministry. I don't know why. I wonder. But quite a few years ago, God gave us the opportunity to be living in this county in 2001, and as we came here, we noticed the need and we had the desire for a ministry that will focus on Hispanics. And we noticed that there were more and more Hispanics coming to the area. We were going to church to Longmont and Denver in some churches over there. And we were just praying for God to open doors and give us the opportunity to have a place to gather here and to worship the Lord and also to reach other people who was coming to the area. And in the last 10 years, as the economy has grown, a lot of Hispanics have moved to the area. You may notice that in the store, in the post, I mean, the, in the in the mail office, on the post office, in library and schools and everywhere you see him. And as we are here, you know, when we talk about Hispanics, we talk about immigration. We talk about a sensitive topic in the nation where many people wonder what's the best solution to this, you know, and that situation also affects my heart in a big way, because we have a lot of people coming to this nation looking for freedom, looking for opportunities, looking for a place to raise their families, looking for a place to work and to have a better future. But as we continue to seek the Lord and to pray to God, we this is our prayer, that as they come here, and as Mark was saying, this is a mission field for many people from many other nations, that as they come here, they will not only find freedom and a better life, but they will also find spiritual freedom, because that's the most important thing. And so God has given us that grace and that wisdom to seek Him, to find Him, to intercede for them, to pray with them, and many of them receive the Lord and have a place of discipleship here in Winter Park Christian Church and in many other places also in this county and in other places in the state. But you know what I want to challenge you with tonight is, as you see Hispanics in the area, and you know, when you think of immigration, this is a mass movement of people that is coming from all over. Everybody wants to be here. And when you think of maybe 10, 11, 12 million people living in this nation, illegally, and I want to be frank with that, and many other millions living here because they were born in this area, sometimes you wonder what's the best solution to this. Let me tell you what's the best solution. God commands all people everywhere to repent and to accept Him as Savior and Lord of their lives. And we don't know how God is going to fix this. We pray that God will give wisdom to our government, that He will bring justice and also mercy to the people that is living here for years. But more than anything, we want to pray for God to open their eyes and give them a spiritual freedom, so that they, when they go back to their countries or their families, they may share the gospel with them and a revival will take place in their families. So I will invite you to pray tonight and just to ask the Lord so that He will open their hearts and their eyes, and they will give Him wisdom to receive the grace and the salvation that Jesus Christ has provided for everyone. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. Tonight we thank You, Lord, for this amazing opportunity that You have given us, Lord, to pray together, Lord. And Lord, we worship You, we praise You, we beg You, Lord, we cry out to You for revival, for Your will to be done in this place, in this nation, Lord. First of all, Lord, in Your church, in Your congregation, Lord, that we would have the heart, that we would have the vision and the passion, Lord, to share the good news of salvation, to intercede for those that are lost, Lord, in our communities. Lord, to reach the ones that are destitute, Lord, and seeking for freedom, for purpose, Lord, for guidance, for vision. Many people, Lord, dying. Many people, Lord, seeking for opportunities to be happy, to have an understanding of life. But Lord, that will not happen if You're not present in their hearts. So we pray that You would open eyes, Lord. And Lord, that as we continue to minister, You will do wonders and miracles in Your church, Lord, that You will raise us up as Your people, and You will give us the grace, Lord, to minister to others, Lord, with boldness, with grace, Lord, and liberty. And Lord, we also pray for the Hispanic community in this county, Lord, that as they come here, Lord, not only they find jobs and a way to establish themselves, Lord, with freedom and liberty and work and schools, Lord, but that they will know that there's a place in this county where people worship the Lord, Lord, where people worship Your name. And Lord, that their eyes will be open and that they will see that You are alive, Lord, that You are real, and that You are calling them to repent and to accept You as a Savior and Lord of their lives, Lord. Lord, this is the time for us to share Your gospel. This is the time for freedom to take place in this nation, Lord. And we want to humble ourselves, Lord, and we want to seek for Your guidance, and we want to ask You for grace and wisdom as we do this, Lord. One day, Lord, we want to be able to worship You with every person from the whole world, Lord, in every tongue and from every tribe and every nation, Lord. And we want to do that with freedom and with joy, knowing that it was You who paid for us, Lord, to go to heaven. Lord, we thank You. And we ask You, Lord, that You guide us, that you continue to guide us, Lord, to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Whatever you have placed us by your grace, in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you want to continue praying for a minute or two.
Lord God Almighty, Creator and Sustainer of all things, Sovereign over all that you have created, O God, for you are the one that gives life and breath and everything to all of mankind. Thank you for hearing our prayers tonight, Lord. You said, call upon me and I will answer you. And O God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We do the simple thing and you work the tremendous miracle. Thank you for moving upon our government tonight. Thank you for moving across this nation. Thank you that we can join our hearts with millions of brothers and sisters across this nation today and tonight who are calling out to you, Lord. Thank you, O God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think or even imagine by your power at work within us. Thank you, O God, for hearing our cries tonight. Father, whatever the issue is, whatever the problem is, Jesus is the answer. Whatever the challenge is, the answer is Jesus. For Lord, in you all things hold together. We thank you for this tonight. We thank you, Lord. And O God, we praise you for the body of Christ in Grant County. Thank you for all of our brothers and sisters that meet in all the different church fellowships. Thank you for excellent leadership that you've raised up in the church up here. And, oh God, we pray for the body of Christ. We pray that we would abound more and more in love. For your word says, by this shall all men know that we're truly your disciples, if we have love one for another. Oh God, guard us from the attacks of the evil one that wants to constantly bring division in the body of Christ through slander and gossip and dissension and false reports and all these kind of things. Let us be alert to the schemes of Satan, Lord, for you've said be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and that's what we want. Oh God, cause us to grow together. Let your light shine brilliantly here in Grand County. Let the church be like a city on a hill or a lamp on a stand, giving light to all. Oh God, let many come into the kingdom, oh God, Father, through your church. And it's going to be through us and all of our sins and weaknesses and wanderings. You're going to manifest your wisdom to the powers and principalities of the air. And you're going to shine your light through us, oh God, and draw in many into the kingdom. So for these things tonight, we give you praise. Oh God, we give you praise. Thank you for hearing our prayers tonight and answering them. We have no idea of the moving of your Holy Spirit as a result of our prayers tonight. But we praise you for this now, Lord. And we give you thanks in the wonderful name of Jesus, our great God and Savior. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand. We're going to sing this last song in closing.
Your grace and mercy, we need to pray like never before. We need the power of your Holy Spirit to open heaven's door. Touch your church, Spirit, touch your church and stir the hearts of men. Revive us, Lord, with a passion once again. I want to care for others like Jesus cares for me. Let your reign fall on me. Let your reign fall. Serve of you what we are. church and stir the hearts of men. Revive us, Lord, with a passion once again. I want to care for others like Jesus cares for me. Let your
Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. God bless.